Vov Teves, Friday the 18th of December, Rabbi Shimon Heller, Parshas Vayigash, How to Sweeten the Golus.
Okay, Rabbi, good morning everybody. This week's Parsha, Yaakov Avinu takes his family and he goes down to Mitzrayim. He takes all his possessions. Yaakov and his children go down to Egypt. Now this is not the exciting trip, let's go to America to visit our children and have nachas from our grandchildren. Yes, he's going to see Yosef and his grandchildren, Manasseh and Ephraim, but this is far from a pleasure trip. Yaakov Avinu knows that Hashem said to Avram, his grandfather, Yodoya teida ki gei yezaracho be'eretz lo'ilohem v'avodum ve'inu oisam. The price of being the chosen nation is to go through terrible servitude and to go through a golus. And Yaakov knows this. And now he takes his family to go into the darkness of golus Mitzrayim. Now Yaakov does not know what this incorporates. He's never been to golus before. He is very frightened. He goes to bring korbanes and he's very, very nervous. What is golus? He's stepping into a dark and a frightening golus that he doesn't know what will it incorporate and how he's going to come out the other side. But he goes together with his family. Interestingly, he really doesn't suffer such a bad golus. And for all his nerves and for all his fear, it was a very sweet situation. He comes down to Mitzrayim. They build yeshivas. They have schools. He has tremendous nachas. The Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, have tremendous respect for him and for his family. And the golus is very, very sweet. As the Pasuk says, only until he and his entire family dies out do we have any tzaras in Mitzrayim. The entire generation will die out. And during this time, Christ will have tremendous success. He'll see tremendous fruit of his labors. And only after him and his family die out do we have Vayokom Melech Chadosh, a new king, pain, and the servitude of Mitzrayim. So he actually has a very sweet, yes, it's Golus. Nothing is as sweet as home. He would love to be in Eretz Canaan, but that's the sum total of his suffering in Mitzrayim. If the Torah speaks out that not Yaakov nor any of his children suffered the Golus, there's got to be a reason. And immediately after, when this generation dies out, a switch, a new king, terrible pain, and terrible tzoras. So what caused the switch? What was it that Yaakov did that sweetened his own Golus? And what was it? What was the mistake of the next generation that impounded the goddess in such a horrible way? Towards the end of David HaMelech's life, David HaMelech made a terrible, terrible mistake. Why he made this mistake is already the Midrashim. But David made a terrible mistake and he counted the Jewish people. He counted them without the Machatzis HaShekel. 1, 2, 3, 4. And we know that you're not allowed to count the Jewish people. Vayam, says the Pasuk Divrei Hayomim Aleph, Chof Aleph. The Satan influenced David to count the Jewish people. Divine retribution is immediate. Hashem will come to God, the Navi of David, and say to him, Lech v'dibar, tell David leimoy, and say to David, Koy Omer Hashem, so says Hashem, you count to the Jewish people, Shalosh aninoy te'olecho. As a result, I'm going to give you 3 punishments. Bechar lecho echad. Choose one of the following 3 punishments. And the Navi gives him 3 choices. Choice number 1, because you counted the Jewish people, and the Jewish people themselves were very unworthy at the time as well. So you counted the Jewish people, I'm going to give you 3 punishments, says the Navi. Choose one of the following 3. Choice number 1, Shalosh Shonim Ra'av. 3 years of famine in Eretz Yisrael. Famine in Eretz Yisrael means death. We don't have transportation like today. The poor people will die. 3 years, a terrible famine in Eretz Yisrael is his first choice. Choice number 2, says the Navi. Shalosh shonim nisve mipnei tzorecha v'cherev oivecha lemaseges. 3 months that your enemies will make inroads into the country. There'll be terrible terrorist attacks. There'll be a lot of death. And the enemy will manage, not necessarily, of course, to take over the whole of Yerushalayim, but certainly to do tremendous damage. You will be persecuted by the sword of your enemy for 3 months.
3 years.
3 months.
3 months.
3 years famine or 3 years of the enemy?
3 months. 3 months or
three years. All 3 years famine or three months of the enemy? Yeah, 3 months of the enemy. Or, choice number three, Sholosh Yomim Cherev Hashem. 3 days of a pestilence and people just fall like flies within the city for 3 days. Cherev Hashem, pestilence, pitom, Devar Me'ashamayim, and people will just fall like flies. So David HaMelech has three options. 3 years of famine, 3 months of his enemies, or 3 days of the sword of Hashem. Now what David HaMelech chooses, why he chooses what he chooses, and what will be the end of the story is really, really, really fascinating, but it's not within the confines of our time limit today. However, the Malbim asks a very, very simple question, and he says, the pasuk is astira minei obey. It's astira minei obey. These are the words of the pasuk. Shalosh aninoi te'alecha. I'm going to give you three punishments. Bechar lecha echot. Choose one. Says the Malbim. Is it one or is it three? So we all automatically understand that the pasuk means to say, I'm going to give you one of three punishments. You choose which one you want. The problem is Hashem doesn't mean to say, because if Hashem meant to say it, he would have said it. And it doesn't say in the pasuk, Echod mishalosh aninoi te'alecha. I'm going to give you one of three punishments. The pasuk says, Shalosh aninoi te'alecha. You are going to get three punishments. Bechar lecha echod. Choose one. Says the Malbim, is it three or is it one? So that's your beautiful Yisod, Rabbi. It's a very, very, very choshev Yisod. I haven't really got time to really go into all the intricacies of this Yisod, but nonetheless, of course, it's a very true Yisod. And see some amazing examples from Navi, from the Gemara, how true this Yisod is. Unfortunately, we're deep, 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 deep in the Golos. We're looking forward to Mitzvah to redemption, Be'ezos Hashem ben Heirov Yomeinu, but we're not there yet. And we're all suffering, everybody suffers, their dimension of what Golos brings them. Is there any way we can sweeten our Golos? Is there anything we can do to make things easier for us or to ease our pain? Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, there is an antidote to suffering. Sama di Yisuri, the antidote of suffering is kibuli, acceptance. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, Sama di Yisuri kibuli. The antidote to suffering and pain that Hashem brings upon us is accepting that it comes from Hashem and accepting that pain. In contrast, if we cannot accept what Hashem sends us or gives us and we try and fight the situation, not only do we not have the skula of samadhi yisuri kibuli that will alleviate the pain itself, not only will we not gain, we'll only lose. As the Navi Yirmiyahu screamed and said, Moitois eitzim shibartem. I gave you yokes, the yokes of the goddess, but they were yokes of wood. They weren't so terrible. But you fought this and you broke those yokes of wood. V'nasati tachteichem. Moitois barzel. I replace those yokes with yokes of metal. If you break the small goddess and we fight it, it will only intensify our suffering. So the Or HaChaim HaKadosh tells us, if we accept suffering, we alleviate the suffering. But if we fight it, we only make it worse. Now, I just want to, for a moment, just explain this. Nobody is illegitimizing that a person can feel pain. There is nothing wrong for a person in a situation of pain to feel the pain, to cry out from the pain, to do every single hishtadlis, both on the physical and spiritual realms, to try and help themselves. It's poshut that all of that is mutter. All we are discussing is one step beyond. After all the hishtadlis and tefillis and davening, and again, we're not illegitimizing pain. There's a certain knowledge that Hashem is behind everything that happens in this world. And Hashem is Avinu of Arachamon, Roifei Chol Basa, Toivu Meitiv. And if Hashem does it, it, just to accept, it's coming from a very, very good place. Let me give you an example. Imagine you've got two people, both going through excruciating experience. They're both being ripped open as they're fully awake and aware with all their senses, being ripped open with a knife. They are both biting their lips and crying and screaming from pain. One person is a Jew in Siberia, who has to go through an emergency operation. There's no anesthetics. His best friend is making the operation, and while he's awake, lying on the operating table, his friend is ripping open his stomach in order to save his life. The second is a person who's being attacked by a terrorist. The terrorist is standing on top of him and ripping him open. Both people are going through the exact same experience and pain. Both of them are biting their lips and are crying and are screaming. But there's a very big difference between the two. The first one, in as much as he's in pain, but he accepts the situation. He knows that the doctor is his best friend. He knows that what the person is doing is ultimately and only for his benefit. He's not fighting the very makoyer of his pain. He may fight his pain, but he's not fighting the makoyer of his pain. The second person is angry at the situation. He's furious at the person, at what's behind what's happening. The anger is at the person who's attacking him. That is called not accepting the pain. It's another level. It's a different... Again, we're not saying you can't be frustrated from pain, but we have to know it comes from Hashem. A year ago, I had terrible sore throats. Terrible, terrible sore throats. So I heard there was a professional doctor in Tel Aviv. Doctor. So I went to Tel Aviv to visit this doctor. It was a big schlep, and I come to his office. I tell him my problem, and he says he's got to take a video of my lungs. What does it mean to take a video of my lungs? Then you know what a throat culture, you take this little stick, right? And they stick it in and you almost kill you. And then take a throat culture. He didn't take a throat culture. He had this long metal stick. And at the end, he had like a video camera, tiny video camera. And his plan was to stick it right to the back of my throat and hold it there for about 3 seconds and video what's going on in my lungs. This is beyond normal. And I'm standing there next to him, and he starts putting his stick into my mouth, and it's a massive metal rod. It's not even sympathetically round. Or like, does he not realize that the patient, and is going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper? He almost strangled me, and at one point, automatic reaction. I flung him across the room, just an automatic reaction, and he killed me. Just punched him in the face, and he flew across the room, and he fell down on the floor, and I felt terrible. So I walk across the room, and I said, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it, I just did it. And I pick him up off the floor, and he starts to laugh. And he says, you know, I've been in this job for years. I've had people vomiting in my face. I've had people punching me in the face. You know, this happens every day, he said. But you're going to keep doing this until I get this video. And he's trying to put a stick down my throat. And we're having a fist fight, him and me. And I'm screaming, get out of there. He's pushing me in. I'm pushing him out. Rabbi Sai, I'm fighting the situation. I'm not fighting that doctor. He saved me. He gave me the exact tablet I needed. I've got a course I've told him till today. Although I was in pain, and I was even fighting him, but the fight wasn't, I'm not fighting him. I know where the makoyer of my pain, there's a certain acceptance. I'm not fighting the makoyer of what's happening. So when Chazal say to accept the situation, we don't mean don't do ishtadlus, we're not even illegitimizing pain. But we're saying to know that the makoyer is Hashem. The Gemara tells us, Hillel was walking home with his Talmidim. Gemara brachas samach amud aleph. Tana rabbanon, maisa behillel azokin. He's coming home with his Talmidim. And they come closer to the village where they live, and there's a woman who's screaming, and she's like losing it, and she's crying, and everyone's nervous because who knows whose house this is, where this is coming from. And Hillel is calm. And they say, Rebbe, why are you so calm? He said, I know it's not my house. Because by me, he says, Muftachani she'ein ze mitoich beisi. The way she's screaming is this is the end of the world. This is a tragedy. There could be nothing worse. That they don't do in my house. We know how to hold our pain within its miskeret, within its proportions. Even the pain of death, the ultimate pain. The Pasuk tells us, Bonim atem Hashem lekeichem lo yisis goydedu, v'lo yisasimu korcho bein einechem lemeis. By non-Jewish people, when somebody dies, it's the ultimate tragedy. They rip their skin, they're pulling out their hair, they are screaming. By Jewish people, this is asa. We are not allowed to do this. We are allowed to cry, we are supposed to cry. We have sholishim e'bechi, and we have shiva, and we have shloishim. We are supposed to mourn the separation. But the situation is not the ultimate tragedy. We are not allowed to rip our flesh. We're not allowed to rip out our hair. As the Mefarshim say, Bonim atem Hashem elokeichem, says the Eben Ezra, since we are children of Hashem, v'hu oyev eschem, he loves us more than any father could love his child. So don't make out of it a trap. It's sad, it's painful, it's a separation. But it's only for your good and for that person's good. And ultimately, we'll be reunited in a very beautiful and a special way. So accepting pain is the antidote to pain, whereas fighting pain only causes it to become worse. The Mefarshim tell us, a number of Mefarshim, says the Brachas Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, Omer Abuna Bar Barachia Mishum Reb Leza Akapo, Kol HaMeshatev Shem Shomayim B'Tzaroi. Anybody who, when he's in a situation of difficulty, says, you know what, it comes from Hashem. Koifin Loi Parnasosoi. His Parnasos will just double. Reb Shmuel Ben Achmeni says, Parnasosoi Moi Fefes Loi Kitzipoi. He'll have tremendous success. because he accepted the situation. Reb Tzadok HaKohen says, Im u'mekabel al atzmoy ha'oinish, if he accepts the situation, and so that's rotzen Hashem. Again, not that he doesn't do his shtadlis. He does all the shtadlis he can, but above his shtadlis, he says, I know it comes from Hashem. Al yedei ze Hashem ma'avir chatosoy. This in itself atones the sin that he is suffering for. V'nimchal ha'oinish ligamri. And through that he will get a perfect mechila on the oinish. And adarabba, through this he'll be saved because he no longer has to suffer and will have his salvation. Brachas Hail Medalef. V'im kibroi ma'schoroi. What's the schar of accepting situations? Yireh zera yarech yomim. He'll see children who will have long lives. Shari Tshuva says, and Tony Beliol says, Elio Anovi tells us, he will get life both in this world and in the next. Accepting Yisurim is the ultimate antidote to pain. The Ben Yoda says, Choiv. Choiv is like deficit and missing. Put Aleph to Choiv, just Hashem, and it's Toiv. Turns into good. So Rabbi said, let's see a few amazing examples from the Navi and from the Gemara of different people. Be it terrible people, but accepted pain. Be it good people, but fought the pain. And let's see the amazing results. Psachim Soif Perik Dalit, says the Gemara. Four times the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash screamed with anger because of people who were Mevaza the Kochim. And one was a Kohen Gadol by the name of Yisocha Ish Kfar Bar Koi. Yisocha Ish Kfar Bar Koi was a Kohen Gadol. But he was a very, very delicate person. And he didn't like touching blood and korbanos. So he would do the avodah with gloves on. Latex gloves. And with his gloves on, he would do the avodah. Now, avodah must be done with the right hand. Right? So the avodah b'etzem is the right hand. And he's doing the avodah, he's wearing gloves. Which is a tremendous design. Tremendous design. Imagine if the king of, I don't know what, king comes to visit. And everyone's standing in a long line to speak to the king. And he gives his hand to the first person. He shakes his hand. And then the next person comes to the king. And he gives that. And he shakes. And then the third person in the line. The king comes and gives that. And the person like pulls out this crumpled glove out of his pocket. And puts it on. And says shalom to the king. You don't wear a glove. It's actually against the halacha. When you do avodah space in Migdash. But this Kohen Gadol was wearing a glove. As he did the avodah. One day, the king and queen. I believe it was Beis Hashmonai. But later on in the dynasty when they were no longer tzaddikim. The king and queen are having a massive argument across their royal banquet table. Now this is a major argument, this is very important sugyas, because of course this is the king and queen who rule over the entire country, and therefore they're making major decisions, and therefore as we can understand, their machlokes is in extremely important matters. The king says, that there's no doubt about this, the meat of a kid, a baby goat, a kid is the most delicious meat. There's nothing as delicious as the meat of a kid. The queen says that the king's taste buds have gone wrong. Lamb, there's nothing as delicious as lamb. And the king says, kid, and the queen says, lamb, kid, lamb. And they're throwing sausages across the table and chips are flying in all directions. And nobody knows what to do with the king and queen because they're both having at each other, thrashing each other. Kid, lamb, what's more delicious, the baby goat or the baby sheep? So people see that we've got to deal with the situation. And they say, you know what, who's the biggest expert in meat? The Kohen Gadol. He's forever being makriv korbanos. And he's always eating meat. So they summon the Kohen Gadol, Yisocha Ish Kfar Bar Koi. And Yisocha Ish Kfar Bar Koi stands before the king and queen. And the king says, you know what? The queen mistakenly thinks that lamb is the most delicious meat. Of course, we all know it's kid. I brought you to confirm this. And the Kohen Gadol says, the queen is right. Kid is the most delicious meat. And the lamb is the most delicious meat. And the proof is, because the Korban Tomid is with the lamb. The Gemara said he actually got it wrong, but that's irrelevant. The king is furious. Furious. You may be right, he says. But you are Mevaza the Melech. You are Mevaza the Melech. How dare you be Mevaza the Melech? I'll give you a punishment you will never forget. I'm not going to kill you, because you won't forget, but you won't remember. You won't be here, right? I'll give you a punishment you'll never forget. So he calls his executioner. Take this guy down to the execution chambers and chop off his right hand. Oh, crazy. Well, where did the king think that up from? Takes the Kohen Gadol down to the execution chambers. And the guy's about to chop off his right hand. He said, please, don't chop off my right hand. Please, I'll give you $10,000. Just don't chop off my hand. And the guy says, I don't chop off your hand, the king will chop off my head. So Yisocha Ish Kfar Koi says, listen, I'll give you the $10,000. Chop off my left hand instead of my right hand. At least my left hand. So the executioner agrees. Chops off his left hand, takes the $10,000, and out goes the Kohen Gadol. He's not a Kohen Gadol anymore because he's a Baal Mum now. B'mikre, b'mikre, b'mikre. He's walking down the road, and the king happens to be looking out the window. And he happens to see the Kohen Gadol walking down the road with a right hand and not a left hand. And he says, one minute. I said to chop off his right hand. He calls the executioner and says, take him straight back and chop off his right hand as well. Rabbi says, what's the Gemara trying to tell us? This Kohen Gadol was Mevaza Es HaMelech. He was Mevaza the Melech Malche Hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he did the Avodah with his right hand with a glove on, which was a tremendous bizarre to Hashem for a Kohen Gadol. And therefore his onish was to lose his right hand. And he understood that. Now of course in a normal scenario one should and could do ishtadlis. But in his level, in his situation, he knew why this was happening. He was supposed to accept the situation, and had he done that, he would have learned to develop his left hand and would have functioned very well with his left hand, because he would have seen bracha by accepting the situation. But because he tried to fight Hashem, and he tried to fight the situation, he ended up having no hands, and having no hands is far worse than only having a left hand. Try opening a door or eating your breakfast, Khalila, with no hands. But when he tried to fight it, he only added to his own sorrow. In contrast, Shoftim Perek Aleph. Klal Yisrael are going to battle against Eretz Canaan, and they manage to capture a city called Bezek. The king of Bezek is a very evil person. His name is Adoni Bezek. And as the Jews conquer Bezek, Adoni Bezek runs for his life, and they are chasing after him. They will catch Adoni Bezek, and they will do something totally out of character for the Jewish people. Totally out of character. They will cut off Bohoinois Yodov Viraglov, the main thumb or the main parts of his hands and feet. They will do this to Adoni Bezek, which is out of character because Jewish people are not cruel and do not torture their prisoners. They themselves don't know why they did it, but that's what they did. He turns to them and says, do you know why you did that? I'll tell you why you did that to me, says the apostle. Vayonas Adoni Bezek. Adoni Bezek runs away. Vayirdefu Achrov, they ran after him. Vayechazu Oitzai, they caught him. They chopped off his hands and feet. Vayoyma Adoni Bezek, he said to them, Shivim Aloche, 70 kings. I decapitated them, chopped off their hands and feet. He was so cruel. And I put them under my royal banquet tables, where they could only eat the food that would fall under the table and drink the wine that would splash under my table as I was partying with my soldiers. Kasha Sisi came, Shilim Elokim. Like I did to others, Hashem paid me back. Vayoveyo Yerushalayim, Vayom Esham. They brought him to Yerushalayim and he died there. This king, Adoni Bezek, was so cruel, such a cruel person. 70 nations he had captured. He took all the kings, decapitated them hands and feet, put them like dogs under his royal banquet tables. When they had no food, they're starving, demoralized. And all they could eat was food that would roll out of his mouth as he partied with his soldiers, and wine that would splash on the floor, and that's what they ate under his tables. Klal Yisrael captured him and did the same to him. However, Rabbi Yisai, we only decapitated his hands and feet. What about the rest? Let's starve him. Let's put him under the table like a dog. Let him suffer like he did to others. That never happened. Says the Malbim. When they chopped off his hands and feet, he stood up and said, you know what? I know why this happened. I deserve it. This is from Hashem. And this is Din, and I deserve it. Vayoveyu Yerushalayim Vayom Esham. No more suffering, says the Malbim. He didn't go through any bizyonis. He wasn't demoralized. He wasn't starved. He never got back a fraction of what he had done. Says the Malbim, as evil as he was, when he had Yisurim and he was able to stand on his two feet and say, this comes from Hashem and it's justice and it's fair, he by doing so was mechape his own avera and did not suffer any more from this moment. The Gemara tells us, Avodah Zarah Tezayin Amud Beis. Rebbe Elazar is caught for teaching Torah by the Romans. He's caught for teaching Torah. The Romans will put him up on a chair on a hangman's rope and they're about to kill him. He's on this chair, and all the Roman soldiers are standing around, and the Roman minister is facing him. And just before they kill him, the Roman minister is giving him a drasha. You fool, you Jewish rabbi! Why do you pursue your false beliefs? Don't you realize the Roman Empire? And as he's giving his last drasha, of course, Rebbe Elazar is not listening to this drasha. Rebbe Elazar's got 4 minutes left of life, and he's got far better things to do with his time. He doesn't see the Roman emperor. He doesn't see the soldiers. He sees only Hashem, only Hashem. And he's saying, Hashamnu, Bogadnu, Gazalnu. He's doing vidui. And at that point, in his own world, he doesn't see anyone around him. He turns to Hashem and says, Hashem, I don't know why I'm dying. I just taught Torah. I don't know why this is happening to me. But I know, Hashem, that if you do this, then it's obviously right. is correct and I accept it. And he screamed, Ne'emon alai hadayin. I accept the dayin Elyon Hashem. That Roman emperor thought that Reb Elezer was talking to him. Reb Elezer wasn't talking to him, he didn't see him. But he thought Reb Elezer was talking to him. He said, really? You accept my sovereignty? Kick off the hangman's rope and send him home. And Reb Elezer was freed. What happened here, Rabbi Isai? Reb Elezer was supposed to be punished for whatever reason. But the second he accepted the din and said, Ne'emon alai hadayin, the din is over and he can go home. Reb Tzadik HaKohen says, Nachshon ben Aminadav is Nasi Shevet Yehuda. Yehuda was the one who sold Yosef. Goynef ish u'mechoroi is chayef chenek. And therefore he went into the Yamsuf because he realized that he has to have Misas chenek. And he accepted the Misa and said, if that's Rotzon Hashem, I accept it. He jumps into the sea, and as soon as he does that, willingly the sea splits and he has his miracle. One more marmok and one more example, and then we'll answer very quickly our two questions. Medrash Eicha. Al Eila ani boichir. Says the Medrash. There was a story of Miriam, the daughter of Baitos Nachtoim. She was taken into captivity and sold as a slave, as a maidservant. In those days, slaves would wear very simple slave garments, like prison garments, that would prevent them from running away because they're wearing prison garments. She's a slave. She's a maidservant. She was sold by the Churban as a slave. The Jewish people, in their greatness, will collect money and they will redeem her. Now she's a free person. But she still only has slave clothing, which means every 5 minutes someone will grab her. Hey, you're an escapee. No, I'm not. I've been redeemed. And it's very demoralizing. She has no proper clothing. In those days, clothing were very, very expensive. But the Jewish people feel very sorry for her. They make another magbit, they collect money, and they buy her a very respectable pair of clothing that's matim for Bas Yisrael. And so she's now wearing regular clothing, and she's a free person. Says the Medrash. After a week, though, she has to clean her clothing. So she puts on her slave garments. She went down to the river to wash her nice garments that she had. And while she was washing them in the river, there was an undercurrent, and it pulled the clothes out of her hands and down into the river. Now she only has slave garments. She's back to square one. She's walking around in a slave garment, so the Jewish people felt very sorry for her. They bought her another set of clothing. They collect the money, they buy another set of clothing. She's wearing the new clothing, and a week later she goes down to the river to wash the clothing, and there's an undercurrent, and it pulls them out of her hands, and they're gone. So when she comes back, the Jewish people say, we'll buy you another set. And she says, no. Omer lehem, she says, Hanichu lo la kodesh baruch hu sheyigve choy vois avinoisai. Obviously, I realize that due to my sins, I am not zoiched to be a respectable person. If this is Rotzon Hashem, let him do what he sees fitting. Since I see that this is my galus, or what I have to suffer, I will not fight Hashem. I don't want to fight Hashem, and I'm a kabel dinoi ba'ahavo. Says the Medrash. Since she accepted the judgment, a week later she goes to wash her prison clothing, her shifcha clothing. She borrows a garment, she goes to wash them, and as she's by the river, one wave flings one set of clothing at her, and the second flings the other at her. And now she has two sets of clothing. As soon as she accepted the din, she sweetened and changed the din. Says the Malbim, David HaMelech did an avera to count the Jewish people. And Hashem said, Sholosh ani noite alecha. The gravity of your sin is mechayev three onshim. But bechar lecha, if you choose and you accept, then echod, it will only be one. Whenever you accept, you minimize. Sholosh ani noite alecha, betzem you need three. But if it's bechar lecha, if you say I accept it and I willingly will bring it upon myself, then echod, it will minimize and you will only have to have one. The Aruch Chaim HaKodesh tells us, Yaakov Avinu is going down to the goddess of Mitzrayim. He is well aware of what's incorporated in this goddess. He is frightened, but he and his sons willingly went down to Mitzrayim to be Mekayim Choyvas HaGolus. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKodesh, you went willingly, you are Mekayim Choyvas HaGolus, the goddess will be sweet, it will be sweet, and you will not suffer. And so he has Nachas, and his bottom midrashas, and yeshivas, and he sees the children growing in Torah. But the next generation, the next generation have a different mindset. We want to be like the Goyim. They spread across the whole land. They wanted to have big villas. They wanted to be on par with their neighbors. They wanted to be like everybody else. Why should we be different? Why should we feel not at home? Why shouldn't we have exactly the same comforts as they have? The second they try to fight Golus, the second they couldn't accept their minor Golus, it will turn and twist into a horrible Golus, into servitude, and for great, in a great way, we are suffering that till today. Had we been in Mitzrayim for the entire 410 years, we would have been able to be Mekayim all our four Galuyos. The reason why we couldn't manage is because it was so bad. The reason why it was so bad is because we brought it upon ourselves by fighting the situation. Had we accepted it, it would have been sweet throughout, and we would have been able to do all our Galus in Galus Mitzrayim. Halavai, the Shir should be a theoretical Shir, because Be'ezus Hashem, Mashiach should come, and when I was Zman Gola, when we are supposed to be in Aldat Maseinu, Be'ezus Hashem, Ben Hiryon.
But so before this starts, can I just say we're doing a collection? We are